I heard it. I just received a testimony from International, and this is what it said. I was a homeless man, out in the rain, cold and miserable, and an older family saw me, and they gave me a hotel room for the night. And I found a Gideon Bible in that hotel room, and I read a couple of Psalms. And I said, I thought to myself, what wonderful poetry. And so I took that Bible with me when I left. And it stayed with me. And I kept reading it. And then I read the verse that says, give away all you have and follow me. And so I decided I was going to give away all that I had, what little I had. And when I gave away the very last thing that I had, people started giving me things. And I found Christ through that Bible. And I found that you can't outgive God. And so when Brother Don says, when you have a few extra dollars that you can spare, give it to the church. And give it to the purpose that God really intends for you to give your money to. And because that's of the world, and God will take care of you, and he'll bless you more than you can understand. I'm going to read this morning just a couple of verses from John, the 4th chapter. It says, do not say, there are still 4 months, and then comes the harvest. Behold, I say to you, lift up your eyes and look at the fields, for they are already white to harvest. And he who weeps receives wages and gathers fruit for eternal life, that both he who sows and he who reaps may rejoice together. For in this the saying is true, one sows and another reaps. And so God has some sowing and he has some reaping. And Gideons characterized themselves as sowers of the word. And for 100 years, Gideons have been sowing the word and placing Bibles and testaments in places where people need to know Christ, and people desperately need to know Christ. And we placed about 1.6 billion of these words into the hands of a world that desperately needs to know Christ. And so our goal is simple, and that's to win men and women, boys and girls, for the Lord Jesus Christ. And we place the word on every continent, on the seven seas, and the sun never sets on this ministry. And 2 weeks ago, Gideon's in the Hampton Roads area had what we call a Bible blitz. 70,000 Bibles and testaments went into the hands of folks. Every single hotel and motel room, except for one or two maybe that refused them, have a new Bible in it. A new Bible, praise God. So wherever you go, you can always find a Bible. And practically everybody in here has been impacted some way by this ministry. And basically, there are two purposes when I want to talk to you about this morning. One is to make some sense out of why so many men pour their lives into this ministry. I've been doing this for, you know, almost 42 years now. And God keeps us very busy, too. And then we want to see what good are we doing. You know, what's it all about, Alfie? Type of idea here. So we received the and so all that I'm going to talk about from now on are testimonies, and to illustrate the harvest that we reap when we sow this word, and what it means in general, in individual lives, in towns and cities and states and countries. And you'll see that it has quite an impact on life, and in churches as well. So we received a testimony from a fella by the name of Herb Opelek, and this is what he said. I was born into a Jewish Orthodox home, and by the age of 7, I had memorized most of the Hebrew scriptures. By the age of 9, I could read, I could speak fluent Galilean Aramaic, and that's the language of Christ, he pointed out to us. And by the age of 13, I was studying Greek. By the age of 17, I was an ordained Orthodox rabbi. By the age of 19, I was the dean of the largest rabbinical school in Brooklyn, New York. And Brooklyn, as you know, is full of Jewish sects. And I taught at the University of Pennsylvania and at Harvard Divinity School. And one night, I was in Boston on graduate school business. And Delta Airlines had done me the biggest favor of my life. They lost my luggage. And there was nothing that I wanted to read in my briefcase. I was not interested in watching TV. And so I began to open all the drawers looking for something to read. And I found that red Gideon Bible there. I guess you all know what it says. And it's clear. It says Holy Bible. And there's a Gideon emblem on the front cover. And I decided that I was going to read the New Testament. Now, I had a doctorate in New Testament studies because I really wanted to know my enemy. And I had read all the commentaries, first century commentaries on the New Testament, and I did not believe a word in that book. And the book kind of opened itself to John. And as I began to read, it turns out I was being prompted by the Holy Spirit. And by the time I got to Nicodemus, my body was trembling and my eyes were tearing up. And the Holy Spirit entered me that night, he told us. And I spent the rest of the night seeing how the New Testament fulfilled Old Testament prophecy. But my body was trembling, and I had never been so scared in all of my life. But I knew that I would be lost forever without that Gideon Bible being in that hotel room. And so for the next 10 years, God had me in rescue missions and leading others to Christ, leading many others to Christ. And now I am sitting on the board of a rescue mission in Tel Aviv, Israel. And we're bringing the word of God into Israel. We plan to populate Israel with rescue missions. And we're bringing the word of God to my people in Israel. That's a harvest, a mighty harvest. It changed maybe a culture. Now, I don't know what the Jewish community in Brooklyn, New York thought when here one of their star pupils received the Lord Jesus and became a Christian, but it changed the thoughts of many of these people forever. Thank you, Brother Tom. Brother Tom is praying for me here. Brother Tom is a Gideon. I don't know how many of you know that, but he's a brother Gideon, and we appreciate him so much. And there was a young man in a hotel room in New Orleans, 19 years of age he was. His name was Carl Bates. 19 years of age, and he was disappointed in life, and he didn't know that he wanted to continue. But he found that Bible there, changed his life, and he went on to become president of the Southern Baptist Convention. Now, there is a harvest where he was leading 11 or 12 million people at one time in the Southern Baptist Convention in the ways of God. Praise God. That's a harvest. Europe has been saying for many years now that they've been in a post-Christian era. And according to what I read, in Tim Keller's book, The Reason for God type of thing, that may not be entirely true these days. Nevertheless, there was a publication in Europe that said we don't need to have Bibles in hotels rooms anymore because they're not needed. And this appeared on the internet. And as soon as it appeared on the internet, there was a young lady who sent an email to the Swedish Gideon office in Sweden. And this is what it said. She said, "I understand that you feel that Bibles are not necessary in hotel rooms. Well, let me tell you, they are." And I'm finally here. And this is what she said. "I can tell you about a young woman and a married man who had many children who met in the hotel room about 15 years ago. They decided, after long talks and in much agony, that he should divorce his wife and the two should marry. The man had no idea what it would mean to his children, and he didn't know that his wife already lived in anxiety because of her fear that her husband was unfaithful. The young woman felt she could never again be happy to have broken up a family, but they were relieved to have come to a decision. For some reason, The man picked up the Gideon Bible from the stand and opened it at random. He read a passage which hit him mercifully, and he became very agitated, and he left immediately. A few days later, he called the young woman and terminated their relationship. Now, I can bear witness about this because I was the young woman in that motel room, she wrote. My gratitude to the Gideons is tremendous. It's not possible to fully appreciate the impact that the Bible made at that moment, and it cannot be expressed. It still scares me to think about what could have happened, even though too much had already happened. The Lord prevented a disaster from coming, from the situation from coming to a truly disastrous end. Well, it didn't say what verse of scripture that the man read that kept him agitated, but I believe it was in Malachi, the second chapter, and the 14th verse. The Lord hath been witness between thee and the wife of thy youth, against whom thou hast dealt treacherously. Kind of scares you. I don't think I would deal with my wife treacherously. Praise God. Because God is going to get you one way or another. So, in Bible ministry, many harvests, many lives are changed, and many attitudes are changed, and much is really accomplished through these Bibles that go out into the world. And Gideons, you know, work with military chaplains to make sure that every man and woman of the armed forces have one of these testaments available to them, praise God. And many pastors write to tell us that the reason they are pastors is because they received one of these testaments. We received a testimony from a brother by the name of Fred Hanslick, and this is what he wrote to us. He said, I was a medic for the 1st Cavalry operating in the Central Highlands of Vietnam, and I carried a New Testament with me that was given to me by the Gideons. Now, every one of these testaments that we give out have a page in the back of the book with a plan of salvation on it. And it's a decision page, a place where you can sign your name, and it gives room. You can write your address there as well if you like. But Fred continued. He said, I had a New Testament with me, given to me by the Gideons, and my name was in the back of the book. And during a firefight, I was captured by the enemy and taken prisoner. But I managed to keep that New Testament with me, he said. And for 4 years, I was a prisoner of war. I was beaten and tortured, and I was sometimes put into solitary confinement. But I was able to escape, but I left that New Testament behind. And he continued, I received a phone call from my parents a couple of years ago, and it was from one of the guards in that facility that I was at had found my New Testament, and as a result of reading it, had come to know Christ as his personal Savior. And he was a minister to the Vietnamese people there in Vietnam. And he was coming to Miami to pastor a church. And could we please meet? And when we met, he fell to his knees and asked my forgiveness for what he had done to me. And he invited, which of course I did, and he invited me to give my testimony at his church in Miami. But before I could, he was tragically killed in an accident. And that is a harvest from one testament given to Fred Hanslick, a seed planted in him, and it resulted in a harvest, a church being formed, many Vietnamese coming to know Christ as a result of this testament that was given to Brother Fred Hanslick. I gave this testimony at my own church several years ago, and after that Sunday afternoon, the pastor's wife called me and said, I have a suggestion for you, and I want to tell you what you should say the next time you come to our church. And but let me give you a little background. She said, I was placed in a foster home as a young girl. And the father of that foster home worked at Fort Eustis. And one day he came home with a testament, you know, the kind that you give to servicemen. And that was my first, he gave it to me, and that was my first introduction to the gospel. So when we place these things, we never know what the outcome is going to be. I received the testament back in the Korean War when I was drafted in 1953 as a very young man, and my name is in the back of that testament that I received. Praise God. we go to, and most of the scriptures that we place are with young folks on college campuses and in schools, most of what we place. And we were at Christopher Newport University in January. And when I talk to the young people there, you know, many of them are on fire for the Lord. You know, you'd be surprised of the depth of spiritual zeal that these young folks, that some of these young folks have there. And so I will say that, you know, it'll be a while before Christianity dies out when we have these young people there giving witness and forming prayer groups and so forth through their churches and so forth. And we go to William and Mary every year. And we place, you know, 1,800 scriptures at Christopher Newport University among those students, and also at William and Mary. And one year, the last time I was there, and we give these testaments out as students pass between classes, and give, here is God's free gift to you, as we hand them one. And there was a student coming my way, looking straight at me. And I said, here's God's free gift to you. And he said, no, thanks, you gave me one last year. And I want you to know that it helped me find God. And I was deciding what I was going to do with the rest of my life, and God had a part in my decision. Now, there is a harvest in a woman. He might be president of the United States one day. And we say, what a harvest from that one testament that was given to that young man. But we thank God for being able to give a testament to that young man that has changed his life, and the life that he leads will be God-directed as a result of him receiving that testament. Praise God. And, you know, all those Bibles that we put in the hotel rooms, and that we take out the old ones. And we did about 3,600 on the peninsula, and so what do we do with the old ones? Well, we put them in the Newport News City Jail, for one thing. And we have 2,500 there right now, and we have another about 700-800 waiting to go down there. And they support, the sheriff there supports us. And you can't take a hard-covered Bible into a prison because they're dangerous, for one thing. And so we have to put soft covers on them. And so the sheriff there has the inmates putting soft covers, which the Gideons provide, on each Bible. And so they'll eventually come out. You know, they're between 500-600 inmates at the city jail, and it's continually changing. So that 3,200-3,300 Bibles that we're providing them with will not last all that long, maybe 3-4 years. And so just pray for that ministry. We also put in what we call personal workers' testaments, which are just like these, only brown. Praise God. You know, I only have a few minutes left. I want to make it count. In Russia, we have Gideons all over the world. What it means is that in Russia, Russian Gideons are placing Russian language scriptures on the streets of Moscow. And in Japan, Japanese Gideons are placing Japanese language scriptures on the streets of Tokyo. And in Colombia, South America, we place Spanish language scriptures. Each one of these testaments has a page, again, same as the Servicemen's Testament, with a plan of salvation on it, and a page where one can sign one's name. Orlando Ballin grew up in Bogota, Colombia, and he began to use drugs at a very early age. And because his mother was a Christian, Colombia is 95% Catholic and less than 1% Protestant there. And because his mother was a Christian, probably Catholic, he decided he didn't want to live home anymore, so he went to live with a gang of 10 other men. And several times he tried to quit drugs, but found that he couldn't. One day, a Gideon gave him a testament like this, and he didn't want the testament. But he found that the paper that we use in these testaments was so fine that he could use it to roll marijuana cigarettes. So he smoked a lot of marijuana cigarettes because he got all the way up to the fifth chapter of Revelation. And he was strangely moved to read that page. And despite the very second verse, it says, "Who is able to open the book of life?" And that got his interest, because these fellows spend a lot of time philosophizing on the streets. And that really got his interest. And a little farther on, he read about the Lamb of God and the impact that the Lamb of God had on all the saints in heaven. And he said, who is this Lamb of God? He began to ask people, do you know who the Lamb of God is? And no one knew the answer. Well, finally, someone came along that said, I don't know who the Lamb of God is, but I know someone who does. And he took Orlando to a pastor, and the pastor explained to Orlando all about the Lamb of God and led Orlando to a saving knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ. And Orlando, very short time thereafter, went back to his gang on the street and led them all to Christ. Today, Orlando is pastor of a four-square gospel church in Bogota. Three more of those men he led to Christ are also pastors, and two besides that are evangelists. That is a harvest, a tremendous harvest from one testament placed into the hands of a man who decided he was going to use it to roll marijuana cigarettes. Well, Guineans went back to Bogota a couple of years ago and a neighboring city, armed with 1 million of these testaments. That's 10,000 boxes of testaments, 100 to a box. The first place some of the Guineans went to, they were split into teams, and they had 2 weeks to place these all these testaments. And the first place they went was the National Police Academy. There, the general and the chaplain, general of the academy and the chaplain, lined up the 1,500 cadets in the courtyard there. The plan of salvation was explained to them by the Guineans. 1,200 of them raised their hands to receive Christ as their personal savior, and that included the general and the chaplain of the academy. And they went to the head bishop in charge of the churches there. They're mainly run by the Catholic Church. The bishop in charge of the schools, which are run by the Catholic Church there, and gained permission to go into the schools. So they would go into a school, explain to the principal what they would like to say to the students in the classrooms. And many of the principals, before they went into the classroom, said, why do I need to wait? I want to accept Christ now, once they received, once they heard what the Guineans were going to tell them. So, and then they would bring the students out to the courtyard, or they would go into the individual classrooms, but practically unanimously, the students received Christ as their personal savior. And word about, and it turns out that thousands were being saved every day in Bogota, Colombia, and that neighboring city there. And a word was getting around about this move of God in the city. And they would stop Guineans in the hotel corridors, in the taxi cabs, or in the restaurants and say, please tell me, can I have one of your testaments and tell me about God? I need to know. And yes, I accept him as Jesus as my personal savior. That is, and I believe personally, I don't know how true it is, but that testament given to Orlando Ballin many years ago set the stage and set the spiritual climate for that place to receive the Lord Jesus. And so we thank God. I think my time is up, and brothers and sisters, I can only scratch the surface about what we're doing. That's what keeps me going in this ministry and being enthused by what God is doing in the world through this ministry. Peninsula Vineyard has supported this ministry ever since the inception of this church. And so we just thank you and bless you for what you've done for us. And we just thank God that we're together as partners in this ministry. Thank you, and may God bless you. Amen.
Well, this is information that our major TV channels never seem to share with us. That work is going on, and there is an unseen kingdom that's moving forward, and there is power there, and lives are being transformed. And, Fred's a truthful guy, so he's not just spreading stories here for the sake of stories. These are testimonies, personal testimonies of people whose lives have been impacted by the power of the truth in our day. You know, and we often think that, well, that maybe is just something that happened in another time, in another era, in another place. But that is continuing on because the work of the Holy Spirit never stops. God is continuing to build his kingdom. And so even hearing that people are anxious to receive the word. You know, sometimes on the street, sometimes as we go about our days, we think, people aren't interested. People don't want to know about this. People don't want to be bothered thinking about this. That's all a sham. And underneath, the emptiness is really there. And maybe they're the only ones who know how totally empty and how totally desperate they are for the word of truth, something that we give their lives meaning. And so this is a great ministry, obviously 100 years and countless millions, probably up in the billions of scriptures now that have been distributed throughout the world in the years that these business people have been about their work, this calling that God has called them to. And so, you know, it's our privilege to be a part of that this morning as we, if we can find a basket maybe in the coffee cart or something, we'll have that as a place we can place an offering to the Gideons. All of this money goes to them. These guys travel the world on their own dime. Well, $100 bills these days. And so all of this money goes toward the actual distribution of scriptures. And so that's why it's a great investment to be a part of that as well. So as we finish up this morning, we know that this is a powerful word, this word about the harvest that is ours, and a harvest that we can be a part of even here, even without being Gideons. We can be a part of this great gospel message of getting the word out. And, you know, I think of how hungry some of these people are to receive a copy of the word, and some of us have 5, 6, 7 or more Bibles at home, and it's just, oh, well, yeah, it's the Bible. You know, we have one in every different version and color and matching our outfits and all the rest of the thing. And we don't get nearly as excited as someone does for the first copy that they would get. And so, you know, may God also stir our hearts to be excited about the word that's been made available to us. Let's pray together this morning. Father, thank you. Thank you again for the power of your word. These testimonies bear witness constantly to the power of your word and what it is doing in lives and how it's transforming from a chance opening of a drawer in a hotel room or in a prison cell or just wherever it might be. We can't do it, and the words alone don't do it. We understand that it's the work of your spirit. You prepare hearts, and your spirit comes and brings conviction and then leads to new life. And so, Father, we thank you for the word. Could the word be more powerful in our lives moving forward? Could we revive our passion for the power of your word as it applies to our lives on a daily basis? So we thank you for Fred and for the work that he represents of these Gideons worldwide, the many, many hundreds and thousands of men who spend their time, their own time, to distribute and to travel and to speak. So we bless you for this incredible ministry of your word. We thank you, Father, as we go about our day today, that we have been enriched to know that your word is alive and well and transforming hearts and lives. So we bless you, Father. You are an awesome God. We bless you this day in Jesus' name. Amen. All right, the basket's there at the